Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives, the Sunday cinema show. My creative tonight is director Wes Miller. He's come on the show to talk about his new film, A Day to Die. The film stars Kevin Dillon, Gianni Capaldi, Leon, Brooke Butler, Muhammad Kareem, Frank Grillo, and Bruce Willis. A Day to Die is available to watch on demand. You can get it on Amazon, Vudu, Google Play, Apple, everywhere. This film is amazing. It's more than just an action flick. This episode is sponsored by Be Unique Brevard, the Space Coast premier magazine. Go to beunique.org to get your copy. This episode is also sponsored by Newsly. Newsly is the hot new news app where you can get all of the trending and important stories of the day all in one place, and you can listen to it. Newsly has made it simple. You can stop scrolling, stop searching, stop getting frustrated because you need to purchase a subscription to read the rest of one article. Head over to newsly.me. You can use my promo code CCC2022 to get 1 month free of the premium subscription. Now, grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and enjoy the show. I am so glad to talk to you. I've been watching the film. To get started, everybody, I'm here with director Wes Miller, his film A Day to Die. It's available to watch now, obviously, because I'm watching it. You can get it on Amazon Prime. It's on the Roku channel. I think it's on Vudu. It's pretty much everywhere. Let's start with a little background on you, and not to be that host that's like just reads off your bio and then says, okay, now tell me about you. You have an incredible background. You are a single father. You raised your child on your own. You went while you were going to law school.
Yes.
And somewhere during that time period, you kind of went, you know what would be cool? Movies. So you're a successful lawyer. You're working as a civil rights attorney.
Correct.
Something that's very close to your heart, obviously. Yes. What was there a certain moment? Was there a watershed moment where you were like, what I should be doing or what I want to be doing is film?
Yeah. I mean, you know, film has always been like a first love of mine, you know, even from childhood playing with we used to have this thing called a Pixel 2000, which you recorded video on audio cassette tape, black and white, but we did it. The only thing I had access to at that time to like law school and practicing law, like The Verdict and The Rainmaker, those movies were like seminal in helping just keep me motivated and, you know, like a North Star for me. Mm-hmm. And then even when I practiced, my law firm my law office was decorated with legal movie posters. That was our decoration. So, you know, film has always been like right on the outside edge. After practicing for about 7 or 8 years, I started feeling like a little emptiness. And it's just kind of like just, you know, spiritually and professionally, I was like, nah, something's missing here. Like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I didn't know where it was, but there was just like a period of emptiness, so to speak, where, you know, I was kind of going through the motions with the practice, but my heart just wasn't there. And then probably like 2011, when the DSLRs came out, it was the first time in my life that I was actually able to pick up a camera in my physical hands and create an image that looked cinematic. So I got me a Canon T3i, started tinkering around a little bit, you know, and then did a couple of little shorts. And I would get my homeboy's friend or little girls to kind of sit with my son and just put them in three circles and just camera shoot, cut it together, just see like, you know, can I make it? And then I wrote a screenplay. I realized that, you know, if I want to, you know, the next step would be like creating stories. So I ended up writing a screenplay, put it on a website called Simply Scripts. And at that point, it got picked up by a producer in Los Angeles. Small producer, very small budget. But he brought me out and I got on set. And then I was like, wow, like, I love it. Like, I got exposed to the casting, to scheduling, to everything. That was like a crash course. And one of the other producers on the project used to represent Tony Gilroy. And he was like, oh man, you know, really like your script. You know, I used to represent Tony Gilroy and your writing style, like, really reminds me of his. So, you know, I was like, wow, that's like a huge compliment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, still wasn't really ready to make the jump, but, you know, I was like, okay, I see this. And I watched that whole process And then I learned, like, look, if you want to do this and you have something to say, you probably need to direct it yourself. You shouldn't just hand your scripts off. And then, yeah, and just a little bit more time. And then like the summer of 2015, I was like, you only live once. If you do it, you got to do it all in, because it's a craft and you really have to like dedicate yourself to the craft. You can't be half toes in and half toes out. Sold the practice in summer of 2015, jumped head first, and here we are.
And we're talking, for people listening, we're talking a space of 7 years, and you've worked with some of the biggest names since then. Yeah. So yeah, like you said, go all in. If it's your dream, if it's your passion, you might fail. Failure, you know what? You might.
Don't take a chance. You
exactly.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm horrible with sayings, but what is it? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
But that's so cool. And you're right, as a writer, when you write a script or a screenplay and it gets optioned or gets bought, unless they take you on as, you know, writer on set or, you know, and give you the creative control, you absolutely lose any say over it.
Yep, exactly.
So if you want your story to be exactly as you wrote it, you do have to direct it. You got to be the big boss.
You have to, because, you know, whatever director comes in, you know, they have their take on the world and their interpretation of your words, and which may just be completely different than, you know, what you intended. And you just kind of have to live with that, which is, you know, okay for some, and, you know, but not okay for others. And, you know, for me, it was like, no, I really, if I'm doing this, I want to say something. And I'd prefer to be the final author of what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. Because you take the chance of having it completely changed. I mean, see, for reference, Kubrick's The Shining. But that's not something that a lot of writers can do. I mean, it takes a lot of bravery. It takes an absolute dedication to just, you have to commit. And if you succeed, woohoo. And if you fail, next time, we'll try again.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing was, like, for me, I was like, you know, because I was coming from a successful career, I wanted to make sure I didn't just do it blindly. I made sure like I had a talent for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood a path forward to be able to, like, you know, eventually make some, you know, enough money to, you know, to make a living. But it's just like, you know, even when, you know, becoming a lawyer, you go to 4 years of college, you go 3 years of law school. That's 7 years. So I was like, okay, it took me seven. And then just even then you take 3 years for the practice of law before you really start understanding. And that's like probably any business, like doctors, you know, they take forever. So I was like, look, all right, if I start in 2015, you know, you give yourself a 5 to 7 to 10 year window, like where you set these different benchmarks. And if you're hitting them, then great. And if not, you know, just reassess and figure out why are you missing them and what can you do to reach them? But yeah, you know, so I'm about a good 7 years in full time, which is like I've gone to college and gone to law school, and now starting to like really get there. And then I just give myself another couple of years to continually increase in the craft, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's basic on the fly, on the job film school you've been doing.
Yeah. You know, in film school, you're at least protected when you make your early works. You're like, nobody will ever see them. You know, my early works are out there for the world to see, which is okay, because I'm happy with them as to where I was in the craft then. And it's always wonderful to look at where I'm now to where I am then, and that level of growth. You just have to have an expectation that your first few works may not set the world on fire. If they help garner a certain fan base, that's awesome, because at the end of the day, you know, we make movies for the audience, and it's nice to have an audience like along that journey with you. So, you know, it's just really about expectation.
Now, when you decided to sell the practice, did you make a deal with yourself, like, or a bargain with yourself? Okay, I'm going to give myself, like you said, 5, 7, 10 years. And if it doesn't work out, we're going back. Or were you like, to hell or high water, we're doing it?
To hell or high water. It was like, because look, here, the reality is, if you have a plan B, then you may not be as passionate or dedicated as you need to be to make it happen. Because listen, this is a hard industry. It is so hard. Like, if you have 365 days, 300 of those are going to be very difficult days. And then you have 65 like wonderful days that make the other 300 difficult. But if that plan B is like lingering over your shoulder, like maybe 200 day 289, you're gonna be like, okay, you know what? I'm going back because I know this world. And it's, yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, if you're, you have to have that dogged determination. So if it was me, I went inactive, turned in my license. I waited a year before I turned in my license, but I did it because like, there's this thing when you become a lawyer, you're kind of like, your identity becomes, I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. And then that identity's gone. But you're not you're not quite a filmmaker yet, even though you're doing some things, but you're not at the place where you can sustain yourself or make a living. So you're still like in this in between world, like in the desert. So I was like, I have to fully let go of that identity in order to embrace who I'm becoming or who God has me to be. So I had to let it go. So no plan B. It's just like, failure's not an option. Like,
okay, no. Apollo 13. But I mean, it's not to say, you know, we're going to shame anybody who thinks that they need something to fall back on. Okay, I get it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people jump out. I wanted to ask, you are a civil rights lawyer. Do you feel now as a filmmaker that you have a bigger voice to address those issues?
Oh, 100%. You do. I would say 100%. Yes. The tricky or difficult part is being able to exercise that voice in a way that's still commercial and allow you to keep working.
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I could go make a movie like Just Mercy that Michael B. Jordan did wonderfully, but didn't light up the box office. And, you know, I might not get another job for like quite a while. But, you know, trying to find that balance of where you can insert your voice, but also still be a commercial filmmaker, ensuring that you'll be able to work and your work could get out to the widest possible audience and be entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Selling out.
Without selling
or
out.
Losing your values about it.
Yeah, is the difficult piece of that. I feel like I'm finding the way to do that. And with The Day to Die, I feel like we took a really big step in integrating like a story that is not just, you know, A to B and has some little undertones of things in it. So, it's a bigger platform. It just never.
Right. I mean, it could be classified an action blockbuster, but still with a message.
Right.
You know, on the surface of it, it might seem like, oh, kidnapping, ransom, blah, 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 blah. But there's also, to me at least, and for people listening, whenever I say something, it's definitely my opinion. But to me, it felt like a small message could have been, I mean, from the beginning of the film, and I don't do spoilers, so I'm not going to get too into it. But the main character helps out another person and ends up suffering the ramifications of it. Right. So we're not gonna say that the message is don't help your fellow person, right?
Right.
We don't necessarily want to take away the message that do not help your fellow man because, you know, it'll bite you in the ass in the end. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that kind of is an actual message in the world now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, I mean, that's very astute. And then, so, you know, for me with the film, when starting from that quote unquote broken place to where he is, to where he ends up, Connor, that's Kevin Dillon's character, to at the very end, you know, it's kind of like that journey. And I think like, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Like even with like the trailer on this film, like it doesn't allude to any of like what the real substances are. So I think you'll have a certain audience coming in with the expectation of only getting a, you know, empty, hey, I just won't shoot them up. I don't want to think. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get another audience like appreciative, like, oh, this is actually a little bit more than what, you know, we anticipated. So yeah, those, I'm glad you picked up on that because that is part of the whole arc for that character.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so nice to actually go into a film and you get that 1-2 punch where it's like, you think you're just going in, like you said, for a shoot 'em up car chase, whatever. And you're like, oh crap, I'm learning. I'm getting something from this other than what I thought. Crap. Now I'm leaving here with a slightly changed perspective of things. What?
Yeah.
You know, you go to the movies and you went to school.
True. Yeah, true. In an entertaining way, you know, you get to, you know, we do give you the blow them up and the shoot them ups in a very organic, sense of the world, so they're not disjointed, but you know, really integrating them. So that was kind of one of the goals, is when I got the script, it was to, can I infuse my voice in it and still keep it entertaining? We didn't have a lot of money, but we wanted to make it feel big. Mm-hmm. So just worked on those elements of the craft as well.
Well, and for a little film, you've got some big names. I mean, Bruce Willis is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
You said Kevin Dillon, you got Frank Grillo. Kevin Dillon has this thing, this look where he looks, or he can look kind of, I don't know how to say it. I don't mean this in a sissy way, but kind mm-hmm. of his emotions are very close to the surface. Mm-hmm. Like he seems on the verge of tears at times. Mm-hmm. And it's so impactful. And yeah. just the interactions when he's talking with, I don't want to spoil it again, but when he's talking with certain people,
yeah,
and he looks like he's on the verge of tears, and you're just like, oh my God, you're fully invested. And amazing actor.
He did, you know, so wonderful that you say that, because like when I, when we first met and did our, you know, our Zoom call together, I was like, well, Kevin, you know, honestly, man, like, I think you're a great actor, but bro, you've been like killing it, you know, Entourage, on the drama, comedy, like. And he was like, bro, you do know I was in Platoon with Oliver Stone, man. Like, drama is where I started. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And then we just kind of talked about the character, and he was in tune with the character. And like, he just came in and just killed it. I was like thoroughly impressed. He, you know, so committed, wonderful, and found the character every time, you know, we turned the camera on. And yeah, I can't say enough great things about Kevin. Like, he's a rock star.
The brief synopsis of the film is he helps out a person, and that actually bites him in the ass and just starts this chain of events, right, that get progressively worse. Mm-hmm. And he ends up having to come up a couple million bucks to fix this chain of events that's going on. Mm-hmm. And to do this, he also is calling in favors from old military friends, but also he's fighting against corruption in the police force.
Right.
So he's got all of this going on, and all he wants to do is get the resolution and get things back to normal.
Correct. Spoiler free synopsis.
I try so hard. I talked to a lady the other night, and she's like, "Ooh, that's a spoiler." I said, "Okay, that's fine. I can delete it. I can edit it out. It's fine." But it truly is a story in a story. I don't want to say it's moralistic, but you do come out of it with a little change perspective, a little bit of, okay, I need to think a little more before I do X, Y, Z. Or, you know, the moral of like friendship and bonds and
right.
people you can count on, and keeping good relationships with people so that you can count on them later, you know?
Yeah, agreed. And that's kind of like the whole thing to me. This, you know, it became a metaphor for brotherhood, friendship, and what does that really mean and look like? And mm-hmm. you know, people from different sides of the world having to who would never be in the same social setting, having to put their differences apart and come together to overcome like a common evil or achieve a common good, you know. So it was, you know, so that's what we were going for, you know. That was the intention behind it.
Success.
Thank you.
So you have, like we said, you've worked with some big names. Do you have a dream actor or actress?
I don't. You know, I just want to continue to develop my craft and get good and just work with the best of the best. And when I say best, not necessarily the biggest names, but just talented people. It's such mm-hmm. an amazing feeling and to sit back and work a scene with these actors and prep a scene and walk through the intentions and the transitions in the scene and watching it come to life. And there's just it's honestly, I just remember a couple of times just like watching Leon, who was amazing in this, and Kevin and Frank, and we're just like working the scene, and like and when we got to it, it was just like boom. That was wonderful. And then just watching like actors like Brooke, who played Candace, bring subtleties to a character that the camera sees, that you have to be so skilled as an actor to trust that and believe that and know what the camera's picking up. And, you know, and it was her performance and Leon's performance that really helped galvanize the piece of what it needed to be to transition into the very last act. And so like, I just like actors like that, you know, I really just love working with, because it's just such a beauty to the craft that, you know, articulation just can't really do it justice.
Mm-hmm. What you just said is the actual like definition of a good director. A good director recognizes all the moving pieces, all the people involved. You know, it's not about ego. It's not about you. It's about every single bit of it and how it comes together.
So true.
It's amazing.
Yeah, very well said.
Yeah, well. I think that people are going to be like, I want to work with Wes Miller. I think that's what it's going
to
be.
I hope so. I try to be all right. I'm kind of cool sometimes to work with. You know, not too much of a dictator. Yeah.
You're not stomping around the set.
Nah.
Where's my motivation?
No. Frank Grillo wanted me to be a little bit more expressive a couple of times. He's like, man, you're just too cool. Like, you can't be that cool. Like, no, man. Like, you know, sometimes you just gotta get loud sometimes. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I will if it's necessary. But like, if I get loud, everybody knows something's really wrong, because mm-hmm. like, doesn't just yell for no reason. So yeah,
I can just see it. You're like, cut. You throw your headset. You're like, everybody off the set. And then you just sit down with your coffee, like.
I may have to try that one time, just to let everybody off.
They're all standing outside, and you're just inside, like on your phone.
Yeah. All right, guys.
So, speaking of next time, what is up next? What do you got in the pipeline?
Yeah. So, right now, we're in pre-production on a film called 3 Mile In. Okay. It's like a crime caper thing. I would call it like a Reservoir Dogs meet Smoking Aces.
Ooh.
And Kelly Rowland will be leading that. Yeah. So, I'm excited to work with her.
She's going to be the lead. She's going to be the.
She's going to be a lead. She's going to be a badass in this one. Like,
I love it.
Like we're crafting something really cool.
Oh my God! Please keep me updated, and we'll have to talk when you get closer.
I will, 100%. Like, I hope to be able to do some of these a little bit more, like leading up to the film coming out. And I think we're probably going to take this one on tour a little bit, because it's such a stylized piece. And I think we'll probably go like on a little city tour. So we'll do a lot of more promotion. Like,
You're going to do Q&As at the theaters and things that? That'll be so cool.
So long as COVID keeps going down.
I was going to say, it's so nice to see we're kind of gradually getting to where we can do that again.
I know. So long as it keeps in that direction, it'll be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But safety first. So
absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to complain about sitting on my couch in my pajamas watching a movie either. So
I know.
I'm happy either way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Oh my God. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh my God. My honor. Your honor. No, please keep in touch. And I'm going to share this as much as I can, because it's such a good movie. And
thank you.
The people in it, like you said, they're just amazing performances.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a wonderful day. Right, you and the little one, go have fun.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Wes.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this creative conversation. Be sure to follow me on social media. I am Pup Duffy basically everywhere. You can follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. Head over to beunique.org. Like, follow, and support my beautiful humans over there. Be sure to check out my sponsor. And for your own sponsorship or interview opportunities, please email me at pup4ccc@gmail.com. If you like the music you're hearing, head on over to RaleighKeegan.com and do yourself a favor and buy this album. You can download it, or you can have a physical CD. You can also keep up to date on tour dates and future releases. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's back, and I'll see you next time.